and try again. You can dust it off and try again, try again. Cause if at first you don't succeed.
Here we come. It's the Because Show.
Yay!
Tonight it's Geraldine
and Susan.
And no, Amy. Amy's in New York for the next couple days, but yep. Susan and I are going to hold down the fort and tell all there is to tell.
Everything. We're going to tell so much.
So, Susan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm still tired. Oh, my God. I'm still tired from last weekend.
Wow. That must have been quite a night.
Well, we went out. We had the girls' night.
We did have our girls' night.
And we went out and had dinner and then went to a bar, and the other ladies went home. They got tired.
Yeah, I was not able to make it out for the whole night. But you, when I left, like, you were up to something.
Like what, like 10 o'clock or 9:30 or something? And everybody went home and I was there. And okay, here's what happened. We're at the bar and there was like no one there. And I promised these girls a good time on the town, and I brought them into this bar, and there was no one there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I think there's supposed to be cool people here pretty soon. So we got our very expensive, overpriced drinks and sat there and stared at the bar and waiting for it to fill. And lo and behold, these two kind of hunky guys came in. Kind of hunky. They were built, right? Mm-hmm. And they were cute, youngish. And Amy and I were watching them. And I leaned over. I'm like, do you think they're gay? And she's like, yeah, I think they are. I'm like, yeah, I think they are too. They look pretty gay. So we're just sitting there watching them. Because we weren't going to like go over and bug them or whatever. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to go say hi to them anyway. They look nice. And so I went over there and said, hi. Are you guys gay?
I think I kind of popped in. This is when I was leaving. And they were like, no, we're not gay. But they said,
yeah, we're gay.
Oh, okay.
And then, no, we're totally not gay. So I was confused because they were going back and forth.
Huh. Did they kiss in front of you? Or?
No.
Okay. So
they did not
totally
hold hands or kiss, but they did not.
Were they flirting with you?
They were not really flirting with me. Okay. So I'm like, they're gay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course. And
so we got to talking, and I guess they were waiting until the club next door opened up, this club called The Exchange, which is a big, huge building that used to be the Los Angeles Stock Exchange building. And now it's a dance club. Go figure. So they said they were going over there, and I was like, oh, you're going dancing? I would love to go dancing. They're like, oh, you should check it out sometime. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go with you guys. And he's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, come with us. And I looked at Amy. I'm like, do you want to go? Let's go. And she's like, well, yeah, if Super Awesome Guy wants to go. Because Super Awesome Guy was supposed to come and pick us up. Super Awesome Guy, by the way, is Amy's boyfriend. And so we waited for Super Awesome Guy to get there. And he said, oh, I asked him when he got there. I'm like, awesome guy, do you want to go dancing with us next door? And he looked at me like I was from Mars. And he's like, no. I was like, okay. Well, I'm going to go. And Amy's like, no, you're not going with these two strange guys. I'm like, they're gay. And she's like, okay, but you better text. Like, as soon as you get over there, and text when you're going home and keep in touch. I'm like, don't worry, Amy. I've lived my 20s in New York on the streets. I'm okay. I know what to do. So they left. I went over. Geraldine left. Heather left. I went over and stood in line waiting to get into the club. And supposedly they were on the list. So I should have been like a plus one, right? But I wasn't on the list. There was no plus one. So we got up to the counter and...
Wait, so at this point, are these guys like, who is this chick hanging on to? I don't know. Are they like, come on, lady, let's do it? Or what, were they ignoring you or were they talking?
No, they weren't really ignoring me. They're like, okay, we're going to get you in. It's
okay,
cool,
so they're
cool.
Like all, they're in on it. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this. Okay. And then they were supposed to be meeting, there was supposed to be a whole group of their friends meeting them in the exclusive VIP third floor. And... So, you know, we were going to go up and, you know, get drinks from them and like get free booze and all this stuff. So we get to the door and then the lady's like, well, where's her ticket? And he's like, well, she was on the list. And they're like, no, she wasn't. So he paid, I think he paid like $35 for me to get in.
Aww.
Wasn't that sweet? And I'm like, I'm totally buying you guys your first round. And he's like, oh, well, when we get upstairs, the drinks will be free because our friends will be there. And they're getting a bottle service at a table. So I'm like, whatever. Okay. So we get in. We look all over for his friends. He's texting them. No friends. So I'm like, let me buy you a drink to hold you guys over. I will buy the first round because you paid for me to get in. And I didn't have any cash. And I had a coat on. And I didn't want to carry my coat around all night. So I went over to the coat check and she's like, it's $5. And I had like literally like $1 bill in my purse. And so I run over to the guy. I'm like, do you have $5 in cash? I'm buying you your first drink. Remember? And so one of the guys gives it to me, Ronnie.
Okay.
Let's say Ronnie was the darker one and Jeremy was the lighter one. So Ronnie gives me $5. So I go check my coat in. We go upstairs and see the dance floor and it's like boom, boom. It's like all these DJs lined up, all these famous DJs. I had no idea who they were. So we're like dancing for a little bit and I pull out my moves, you know. Yeah. And Jeremy was like blown away because he starts doing his little hip hop dancing stuff, like showing off. And I was like, oh yeah, look at this. And I start going, throwing it down. And he's like, oh my God, girl, you can dance. I'm like, I know. I'm like, let's go get those drinks. So we went and got the drinks. And then we were just dancing, all three of us. And Ronnie was being very quiet. He was like a strong, silent type. And like by this time, I was like sweating already. I'm like, God, it's hot in here. And I'm like, Ronnie, you're not even sweating. And he's like, that's because you're not dancing close enough to me. I'm like, you're not gay. You're not gay. And I look at Jeremy, I'm like, you're not gay either, are you? And they're like, no, we're not. I'm like, oh, Jesus. What did I get myself into here? So Jeremy started getting a little handsy.
No,
a little handsy.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is getting more and more exciting.
And I had to, all I did was I told him, like, wow, you're really grabby, aren't you? Because I'm 44. I don't care. I'm going to just say what I'm thinking. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm like, well, I'm telling you, you're grabby. He's like, okay. And then he just started kind of like, you know, like teasing me a little bit. Like, oh, I'm going to grab you. Oh, I didn't grab you. So I started like poking him in the belly. It was very juvenile, but very fun. And so he kept texting and calling and his friends like never showed up. So it got pretty crowded. We went downstairs to the downstairs dance floor that was very not crowded. And there are these girls. So I'm like, I'm going to get you guys some girls to dance with. So because there's all these girls down there dancing just in little groups by themselves. Ladies night out. So I would just run over to them like, do you girls want to dance with my two hunky friends? So I would just pull these girls over. And then they would, but it's so funny because they would just dance with them. They wouldn't go up close to them. They wouldn't really talk to them. I'm like, what the fuck? I just brought you two girls and you're not doing, you're just dancing. You're not even interacting. And then so the girls would dance off. And I'm like, guys, what happened?
I think they wanted you to be their dance partner, it sounds like.
So then I went and got them two more. And I told Jeremy, I'm like, tell her she's pretty. And I told Ronnie, like, just like, after like 50 seconds, just touch her waist. Like, you have to make a move, right? And throw a couple lines out there and you'll catch something, right?
And how'd that go?
It did not go well. So, yeah, I tried. And then I think around midnight, they kept calling their friends, and I guess their friends decided not to come out. So they're like, we're going to go over. I guess their friends were in Glendale. We're going to go back to Glendale and hang with our friends. Thanks for dancing. Susan, bye. I'm like, bye. I gave them big hugs. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm glad you did not get kidnapped
or gang raped roofied.
And, no, that sounds like a perfectly fun and harmless evening.
Oh, the evening is not over yet.
Oh, it's not over? What?
No, they left. And I was like, fuck that. I was not even tired. I had not yawned the entire night. I'm like, my hips still feel okay. My joints are still lubricated. So I went out to where everybody goes to meet people, the smoking patio. So I went out to the smoking patio. I met Leo, the angry Armenian, who smoked Capris. Oh. Does that even make any sense? No. So hung out with him for a while. He was such a downer. So this other guy from, what is that place called? La Puente? Uh-huh. This guy from La Puente like comes over and he's like, oh, this guy's a real asshole. I was like, I know. He's like, come hang out with us. I'm like, okay. So it was this guy, La Puente guy, his friend Steven, who was wearing a lavender polo shirt buttoned all the way up to the top. And he was not gay, by the way. I'll tell you why later.
Okay.
And a guy, and then a really, really drunk girl. So La Puente guy's like, these two, the guy and the girl, just invited us over. I guess it's her birthday, and they got table service, and they had this whole bottle of Jack Daniels, so they just saw us and invited us over to share in their table service. I'm like, that's really cool. So after we smoked our cigarette, we went back in, and Steven was fucking talking my ear off. Oh my God. He would not shut up. And he's like, do you want to dance? I'm like, yes, I do. Because then you will shut up. So we're dancing and he was very grabby. He was very handsy.
But isn't that what you expect in a club downtown at one-ish drinking?
But I was not making any moves towards him.
Okay. You're not giving it out.
I'm not giving it out. Being polite.
Okay. Got it.
I was, tolerating him.
Totally hear that. Okay.
Wow. So, and then I told him, I'm like, wow, you're really grabby. You know, because it worked last
time.
That's
your line. Use it.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, he got all, I'm like, dude, just like unbutton at least one of those polo shirt buttons and just relax. Okay. So it ends up the girl went to the bathroom and then the guy came back. And she's like, listen, Jessica's like barfing in the bathroom. We got to go. So then that group all left. So then there I was left alone again.
Aww.
So where did I go? Smoking patio. I'm like, fuck, I'm still not tired. And so I went back out there, looked around a little bit. It was all just, it was all guys. Mm-hmm. And you like to find a group with maybe one girl, but it was a lot of guys. And it was like, maybe it's time for me to go. And I look at my watch and it was like, I don't know, 2:30, something like that. I'm like, all right, I guess I can go. Oh, and by the way, my phone had died. Mm-hmm. So I was not texting Amy at all. Mm-hmm. And later I read her text and she's like, I hope you are not dead. I hope you are not getting raped. I will be very mad at myself if something bad is happening to you right now. So I just went downstairs to the dance floor where there wasn't anybody. Mm-hmm. And I just danced. I danced with Brad.
Good.
Whose girlfriend was not there. So uh-huh. I'm like, great. You're not going to touch me, are you? He's like, no. I'm like, great. Let's dance.
Fun. That sounds perfect.
So that was very nice.
That is really nice.
And then that was it.
That sounds like that was an interesting and fun evening. And you got your dancing in. You got your moves thrown down.
And I left at about 3, got a cab, drove to Amy's house, or got cab to Amy's house, and then got in my car, drove home, crawled into bed about 3:38. And I was really, really tired the next day. And all of my bones and muscles ached terribly.
The end. So, we have been lucky enough to get a couple of voicemails. Do you want to take a listen?
Uh-huh.
Hi, ladies. This is Christina calling from Florida. And I just wanted to leave a message about a podcast you had done in reference to hanging picture frames on the wall. I love that idea of the wrapping paper because I am a wall clutterer. I love to clutter my wall. I just love to hang things on my wall, and sometimes it's just ridiculous. And so we just bought a new house, and everything right now has just been laying on the floor. I'm trying to figure out where to hang up these pictures. So I like the idea of with the wrapping paper. So that was a great show. And also for Geraldine, that was an amazing story. That I was just like, my mouth was just open and surprised and shocked from that event that had happened to you, which then reminds me of my cousin who loves to read those African-American books as they have in section in the bookstore. She was telling me of a term called the chicken head where they and the girls, the main girl are aware of the guy's other girlfriends, and she calls them the chicken heads. So that immediately reminded me of what ended up happening to you, and I'm glad that you decided not to become a chicken head. Anyway, love you guys, and I guess that's pretty much it for now, and I'll call back, I guess, some other time. Take care. Hugs and kisses. Bye.
Oh, thank you for calling. Unfortunately, you cut out a little bit in the middle of your message.
About the chicken head.
Yeah, I know. I mean, imagine a chicken head from within the context of your message. I imagine the chicken head is like the second girlfriend.
The second girlfriend.
Because she said that she was glad that I'm not the chicken head. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm glad the wrapping paper picture hanging thing is working out for you. But I do want to address this. You know, I've had a little bit of time, maybe 2 weeks, to think about my adventure with Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I think that, you know, what was being presented of this poly idea of being on a totem mm-hmm. pole and the new person being the lowest and
yeah.
the more established couple or partner being like higher up on the totem pole.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, there may be listeners out there who are doing that and it works perfectly for them mm-hmm. and that's their jam.
Yeah.
So, but for me in particular, like that's not what I'm looking for, but I would hate to cast any aspersions on people who do like to be on a totem pole.
Yeah,
like, that's fine.
And
I
if
don't
it
care.
Works, you know, it's a high, it's seniority.
It totally works. Right? I mean, I would imagine it works for some people and that's yeah. cool. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, the problem for me was that I did not know the totem pole existed.
Right.
So, but no, I don't want, I mean, everybody does their own thing. As far as being a chicken head, I am glad I am not a chicken head too, but I would not want to denigrate those who do choose that lifestyle. Like mm-hmm. chicken heads, long live and prosper. That's all I have to say about that. So let's move on. I think we got another one.
All right.
Hi, the Cash Show ladies. This is Paige. I just listened to the last two shows on my way to work here in LA. So traffic was like terrible. I work in pastry. I think some of you might have seen my Instagrams. But I noticed that y'all were talking about therapy and I've been thinking about getting a therapist, but I'm kind of young. I'm 24 and I'm still on my mom's insurance. So I have to talk to my mom about getting a therapist and I don't want to tell her about it because I don't want her to ask me if I'm okay. Of course I'm okay. I just feel like I might have should have gone to a therapist whenever I was younger and maybe I should go now and I don't really know how to bring it up. Also, congratulations, Geraldine, on not seeing Kermit. I'm so excited about that. And I love hearing about all y'all's life. Thank you for everything. It makes my commute to work every morning 10 times better. Thanks.
Oh, that's nice, too. We have all these nice people.
Okay, so she asked us a serious question that we can like give some advice. Now, we're both moms, so we can tackle it from that angle. But we're both daughters, too, so we can. Yeah. But definitely, let's see.
You know, I think that should fall under the rule of, like, if you are 18
mm-hmm.
and you're still on your parents' insurance, I don't think you should have to ask. I think you should be able to make your own appointments and keep your own private
business
doctor stuff to yourself.
But are you just,
I don't know.
You wish this was the way it would be?
I wish this is the way it was. Like, don't you have to, like, if you're over 16, you can like get an abortion. I know this has nothing to do with anything, but you can get an abortion without your parents finding out, right?
Meh. In some states, maybe. You can get Plan B somewhere. I don't know. But
like that, because I can totally see as a mom, like if I was 19 or 20 or whatever, and asked my mom, you know, that I wanted to go see a therapist, what's wrong? You know, you can talk to me. I'll listen to you. You know.
Okay. No. I know. Oh, and I think I've been in that position too when I was younger. Like, there's a little bit of a stigma. And, you know, it depends on what kind of relationship you have with your mother, if she's going to be more worried or think it's weird. I mean, I remember when I told my dad when I was like, I don't know, 20, that I wanted to see a therapist. And he was like, why? Only people who are sick go to doctors.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not really like that. And blah, 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 blah. And, there's a little bit of weirdness to present that to your parents. But on the other hand, it's like
it's a new age also, I think.
Yeah. And also you can present it like, I'm fine. I just have heard that it's really nice to have somebody to talk to and with, you know, somebody who doesn't know me and all my friends and have an objective point of view.
There you go. That's good. Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, you know, even if you do have a big issue that you need to sort out or problems or trauma or whatever, I mean, you don't have to address that. But I was just telling Susan, remember when we were talking with Amy and I was like, seeing a therapist is so great. It's like going to a spa, but for your brain.
Yes, yes.
So it really is. And Amy totally agreed with me. She would agree with me if she's here. She agreed that it's like such a luxury, really, to have one person totally, you know, listening and focusing on you and your stuff for that 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it can be hard, but it also can be really, really enjoyable. So do whatever you can to get yourself to a therapist.
Yeah. And I say better earlier than later. Now, I'm actually thinking of getting a therapist as well, just because I have issues too, as everybody does. The thought of like meeting a new person and like explaining to them my entire life, my backstory, it's because I'm 44. My backstory is really, really long and tedious.
No.
When you're young, you know, you don't have as many years to catch up telling your backstory.
I suppose that is one way to look at it, but that's
a pro.
I mean, that's kind of the pleasure of, I mean, imagine, you know, telling your backstory isn't a pain in the ass. It's like a delight. Like you want to, you know, you are able to go back and look and see how the little pieces fit together. So the more you tell your backstory, the more you can like eke out how, you know, what's going on with you
And so it's just part of the process. Your issue may not have anything to do with your backstory.
No, it always does.
Yeah.
It does. It will. You'll find out that it does.
Yeah.
But unless you don't want to pay for it, like out of your pocket, if you're on your mom's insurance, just suck it up. And, you know, the best case scenario is that perhaps this would be something that could bring you and your mom closer together. That, you know, it's like she doesn't have to worry about you, but maybe she will feel would feel closer to you, that you could be honest and say, hey, mom, I want to do this. And she would just take it at that. I mean, that would be ideal. So I hope that helps.
Yep. I hope so, too.
So let's go voicemail number 3.
Hello, ladies. This is Elizabeth calling. I have been meaning to call in for months and months now, and then when I heard Amy's tax question from a few weeks ago, I took it as a sign. So I know a new episode just went up, and I don't know if this information has been covered, but I am a financial advisor. You know, disclosure to my clients that I'm not a tax advisor, so consult your CPA, but I am educated on the topic. So for Amy, married filing separately is the filing status with the least benefits. The only reason people do this is probably exactly your situation where you're still married but separated. You don't want anything to do with each other's finances. You don't want your filing that way. You mentioned on the air about you don't have enough deductions. So one thing with filing separately is if your spouse is itemizing his deductions, you have to also itemize. If you do not have enough itemized deductions, your itemizations can be less than exclusion, so you would be better off if you were single or married filing jointly, because your annual exclusion would be higher. This is the case if you don't have enough itemized deductions to get you over that amount. And so for 2013, the annual exclusion is $6,100. So depending on the amount of your deductions, you could be kind of behind the eight ball if it's not more than $6,100. One option, I guess, would be if you filed head of household, which there are a few stipulations on if you can get that, if you're eligible to file that way. Generally speaking, you have to be married or you have to be filing jointly or single. But if you are filing separately, as long as you follow the rules, you can have this, you can file that way. And I'm not sure if you do, but generally, if you've lived separately from your spouse for 6 months of the previous year, so from July to December of 2013, if you live separately, you paid more than 50% of your own living costs and you have a dependent, which would be Benji. So if you file head of household, you can take the annual exclusion if it's higher than your itemized deductions. And so for 2013, that is $8,950. So depending on that, there's also ways to cut down on the tax bill you owe with contributions to your 401k, which is too late to make those contributions, but you could make a deductible IRA contribution. However, there are phase outs as far as your income. If in order to make a deductible IRA contribution and to be covered by an employer-sponsored plan, i.e. a 401k plan, if you are married filing separately, the phase-out is basically, you know, $10,000, so clearly you're over that. If you're head of household or filing jointly, the phase-out is significantly higher, and so even if you did owe something at the end of the year, depending on that amount, you could then make a deductible IRA contribution, which basically washes out the payment you would owe the IRS. You're basically paying yourself versus the government. So, and, you know, tax laws are a mess, and which is why I always end with consult your tax advisor. But it sounds like you're working with somebody, so hopefully he or she can help you navigate this and come up with other ideas. Anyway, that is that. This is a lot of information to play for people who might not care, but I felt compelled to call in. So loving the show. You guys are always awesome. I've been a little bit behind, but was thrilled to listen this morning when I heard this call out for help. So I hope all is well. Sounds like it is. Thanks for all you do, ladies, and I will call in more often. Bye.
Thank you for that. I know we will tell Amy. No, we'll have her listen to this because She was the one who was complaining. Not complaining, but mentioning her taxes. So, Yeah, that totally sounds right. So now one more voicemail. Actually, let's take a break from voicemails.
Take a break from voicemails.
We have one more. Let's save it. Let's see what else is going on with us. We have, this is a bit of listener feedback. Somebody wrote me this week and She said that she was wearing her sexiest shirt at work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her coworkers came up to her, put their hand on her stomach and said, in all seriousness, said, when are you due?
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Here's a clue for listeners. When someone does that to you, or if you're thinking of doing that to somebody, don't. If someone does it to you, you just look them in the face and you say, I am not pregnant. And then you walk away.
Oh, that's tough. No, I wrote back to ask, what did she say? And she said, She said similar. She said, I'm not pregnant. I'm fat.
Oh.
But however, I mean, I would not, you know, I mean, even if you are fat, like that person probably feels so mortified
that, yeah. They will never do that again.
Yeah. And also it's a little bit adding insult to injury that you would have to call yourself out as fat. I mean, I don't know.
That's it's just an awful situation.
Awkward all around.
Yeah.
Why
do people still do that? Like, if you don't know the person is pregnant, I don't care if they look 9 months pregnant. You don't ask. That's information that is given. Oh, Jesus.
I know, that's pretty bad. So I have some exciting news.
Okay.
Okay. This is May 1st, the very first day of May, and I am starting officially 30 days vibrator free.
What? Yeah. Okay. 30 days, like, it's like that challenge in Seinfeld. Remember that?
They
wouldn't jerk off for whoever could last the longest won, like, I don't know, $100 or something.
Okay, well, Amy and I are doing this. You're invited, too. I think it might be easier for you.
I would win, hands down.
We're doing 30 days vibrator free.
Okay.
And I actually threw out my vibrator.
Wow.
Which I've had since, like, 1998. Wow. So this is like major deal.
But you still have your little black tooth.
That one was so expensive that I do not want to throw it out because I like just bought it 2 months ago.
You should give it to me.
You can boil it if you want.
Yeah. Boil it in oil.
No, just put the hydrogen peroxide on it. But the reason I'm doing this is because I was listening to Dan Savage, as I do, and he had a caller call in who has sort of something that resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we talk about orgasms, frankly, here?
Yes, please. Okay. Please do.
Well, this caller called in, and she said that she is only able to climax with a very, very certain specific type of pressure in a specific type of spot with a specific type of vibrator. Mm. And most often, it's hard or next to impossible to get a partner to simulate or even use that vibrator in the exact same way because it's so specific.
Right.
And I feel her pain.
Yeah, you have to get back into practice and without a vibrator, right?
Basically, you have to retrain your body to respond to a different sensation. Dan had an expert come on, like a women's sexuality specialist, to say that no, you're not, the groove is not so ingrained that it cannot be regrooved, and you cannot the body
relearned.
But and this happens with teenage boys sometimes. It's called the death grip.
What? please explain.
The death grip is when young, you know, young men are masturbating with such a tight grip.
Oh.
It's called the death grip. That they learn to respond to this sensation that no partner could ever simulate.
Right.
So they're not able. So they end up spending a lot of time masturbating.
Interesting.
And not able to achieve a climax with a partner.
Wow.
So you got to lose the death grip.
For me, when I grab a dick, I am very ginger with it because I don't know. I don't know what pressure is. You know, you don't know. I'm always so gentle because I know that here's what I'm going off of. When guys get kicked in that area, it's very, very, very painful. So I'm going off the assumption that it's a gentle genital.
Okay. Well, from what I know, that's the testicles.
That's the testicles.
Right?
The dick.
Yeah, but the penis is a sturdy and strong organ that can,
but it has that big old sensitive head, right?
That can withstand a lot of
banging.
Yeah,
yanking.
I don't know. Every person's different. True. Guys, chime in.
All right. Well, next time I grab a dick, I'm going to grab it with gusto, and see how that goes.
Until you hear
a scream or yelp. Yeah.
But so that's my goal for. I'm going to see where I am 30 days from now. I'm looking to not only have a more,
healthy relationship with your body?
I mean, I guess you could put it that way. But to be able to get there easier and faster. Because when we were out Saturday night, I was talking to you. No, not to you. To Amy and to our other friend. And it became apparent that some women, not me, are able to get there sort of at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Like, without a lot of, like, concentration and focus.
I think they're faking.
What?
I think that's called faking.
I don't know. Maybe, it sounded like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because for me, like, I need to concentrate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The other thing I'm working on is Kegels. We mentioned this at the beginning of the year for New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah.
Kegels, because Kegels are supposed to increase the, you know, those muscles on your pelvic floor that are going to help you orgasm. Everybody says you can do Kegels, but how many Kegels are you supposed to do? Do you know?
I think that you are supposed to do 50 three times a day.
That is in the ballpark. The Mayo Clinic, on the Mayo Clinic website, suggests you do 3 sets of 10 reps a day, which doesn't sound like... I think that's like for a senior citizen who's like working on like bladder control.
Okay.
But other websites say you should work up to 100 to 200 a day, which sounds more...
Like spread out?
Yeah, throughout the day. So like 10 sets of 10 or 10 sets of 20.
Okay.
And then did you know there's 2 different types of Kegels?
Butt Kegels and pussy Kegels?
No.
Okay.
One is described as the quick flick.
Okay.
I think that's what everybody knows, where you're just like clenching, releasing, clenching, releasing.
Okay, yeah.
So that is the quick flick. And then the other one is called the slow twitch.
Slow twitch. Is that... Oh, wait, let me guess. That's where you clench and then let go.
Yeah, pretty much. Or it can be described as imagining you have a string attached to your belly button.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's not let go. It's more like pull.
Oh, like...
Pull.
Clench? Clench. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and hold for an 8 count. So there's that 2-step approach. Mm-hmm. All listeners out there who want to join me in this 30-day challenge, you concentrate on the quick flick and the slow twitch. Hide your vibrator. And let's report back in June 1st, and see how we're doing with the cataclysmic.
Like, so, okay, so first, try to have an orgasm. Time yourself. Look at the clock.
Oh, man.
So you have to have a control group, right? Okay. So do that. Then do your Kegel exercises. Practice getting there faster. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of 30 days, try your first real test.
Okay.
Try that.
We will do that. I mean, the report other thing back on Dan Savage...
I want numbers.
...that the expert said is that, say, perhaps with a vibrator, the use of a vibrator, you can get there in 2 minutes using just your imagination and dexterity. It might take 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
35 minutes.
Okay, wow.
So don't rush yourself.
Don't rush yourself. Okay.
But I can tell you this, listening to the Savage Love cast, I subscribed to the Magnum version, which is like the full, it's over an hour with no commercials, and there's more callers and more answers, and it's so good. It's like any listener out there who wants something else to listen to.
I mean, about sex.
Yeah. And relationships.
Love and relationships.
It's just so great. And his advice is just phenomenal. I am very much enjoying it. And, it's worth, I think it's like you get a whole season, which is like 30 episodes for $19.99.
Okay.
Or you can listen to it free, but it's shorter and there's ads. I've mentioned that before. Have you ever listened to it?
I have never listened to it. When am I going to listen? I have my commute between when I drop off my kid and my school is like literally 10 minutes.
Okay. No, I mean, whenever you find yourself in...
Yeah.
The position to be listening to something, you have to listen,
because I will totally.
It is. What else is going on? We have some other news in this world.
Is there other news in the world other than my Kegels and dancing and Geraldine's orgasms? I truly think that you should get the vibrator out of the house, though, so you're like forced to go without.
The little black one?
All of whatever. I don't know what you have. I know you have the little black one. What else do you have, Geraldine?
The one I threw away, the purple one.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
That's it. Okay.
So, I mean...
And your Clarisonic, because you might... That's like drinking the vanilla flavoring.
No, I think I'll do okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't be telling everybody about this now if it wasn't something that I'm going to stick to.
Okay.
So now the other thing that we have going on is there's a new book come out by a woman we like, Sandra Tsing Lo. Do you know her?
Oh, yes, I know
her. She is so funny.
Sandra Tsing Lo in the Low Life.
She has a book called Mad Woman in the Volvo, My Year of Raging Hormones.
Oh, okay. Which, is that like about menopause?
She speaks hilariously and candidly about her life as a mother, a daughter, and an artist, and she recounts her journey through a tumultuous time of life trying to maintain appearances during an epic hormonal change. So, yeah, menopause.
Oh, man.
Probably. But it's coming out.
Oh, I kind of can't stand her a little bit. Whenever I listen to
her voice is really, like, she's very much a valley girl. Like, yeah. But she's a good writer and funny as well. So, now... One thing that I want to cheer and celebrate is that, isn't it great when things fix themselves?
Oh my God. Yes.
It's the best. Because in the last week, I had 2 almost problems that just like magically resolved.
That's awesome.
Because last week, Zoe flushed this good-sized red spiky rubber ball down the toilet.
Why? We don't know.
And the toilet was clogged. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man. Like, I'm going to call a plumber. It's going to be expensive just for a stupid red ball down the toilet. Yep,
at least
and,
$100.
Yeah, and I kind of just shut the lid of the toilet. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to think
Do
about
not
it.
Use.
Yeah.
You put a little sign on there that said broken.
Yeah. And then I kind of like didn't do anything for 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I went back in. Mm-hmm. I flushed the toilet just to be like, okay, do I really have to call a plumber? And it was fixed.
Whee!
And this is the most mundane of triumphs. But the same thing happened with my fridge.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't regulating the temperature right. Like, it was too warm. I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with my refrigerator? Like, mm-hmm. the freezer won't stay cold. The refrigerator seems warm. I was like, oh, I have to call somebody. Who do I call? Repairman. Ugh. And then many, many days go by. I check it.
Yeah.
Look at the temperature because I can see there's a little digital readout. Mm-hmm. It fixed itself. Oh. I know.
God loves you, Geraldine.
I felt like, wow, I'm catching a break here. This nice. Is really good. Yeah. It's like two things that I didn't have to take care of.
I think what happened is a sewer rat found the ball and liked it and was like, I'm totally taking this ball home. Was trying to bite it and then popped it and then blah, 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 it went just down the hose. And then also you had a visit from Jack Frost. He was actually hovering above your bed when you were jerking off, figured he owed you a favor and fixed your fridge.
Well, if that's what happened, I appreciate it, Rat and Jack Frost. That's all good news for me. So now, let's see if I can find the... Do you want to hear... blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I want to go back to that voicemail. I have something else here. So now we're going to switch topics. I did have a little something I wanted to talk about. Now, here on the Because Show, we do like to talk about strong women times. We've talked about Sheila E., Madame Curie, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
We've talked so much about Hillary.
And
what's her name?
Michelle Obama.
Goopy.
Gwenny. So, and then there's another woman who I want to put on a pedestal and salute, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton's awesome.
Now, what do you know about her?
I have been listening to Dolly Parton since I was, I don't know, 10. She was on, I can't remember the name of the show, but it was in black and white. It was her and a guy singing, and we loved it.
Well, do you know where she's from or anything about her upbringing?
Isn't she from Dollywood?
I haven't checked my trusty source Wikipedia, but I believe she's from Tennessee, and she grew up dirt poor. And even when she was 16, she knew she was going to be a singer. She knew she was going to hit it big, and she told her best friend, like, I'm going to go to Nashville, I'm going to get set up, it's going to take me a couple years to hit it big, but then you come out and I'll set you up, you know, you can live with me. And she just went on her way and it worked.
Yeah.
Because she's incredibly talented.
She's so nice, too.
I love her.
Yeah, I love her.
I don't know if she's awesome. Underrated, but I feel like in popular culture, you know, now that she's a little bit older, she may not be getting the constant recognition she deserves.
Yeah. But she's an icon, really.
She is an icon. So do you feel like you're familiar with her songs, her oeuvre?
A little bit. Yeah, sure. Is this a quiz?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So this quiz, I have selected some clips of Dolly Parton's hits. You may know them or you may not. And you can say the name of them. If you don't know it, there's no shame.
Okay. No shame here at the Because Show. Jolene. This is Jolene. Love this one. Don't take my man.
This was her first hit. She hit it big. Okay. Way back, 1967.
Yep.
Jolene.
This is not Islands in the Stream, but she's singing with Kenny Rogers, right? I don't know that one.
We've Got Tonight.
Oh, I got tonight.
I picked out a tricky part to where they didn't say it.
It's not 9 to 5. I don't know.
Islands in the Stream.
Oh, Islands in the Stream. That's okay.
I'm sure you would have known that if I played.
Oh, speaking of 9 to 5. We'll always love you.
Yes. And now this last one's a challenge.
Okay.
Stairway to Heaven.
Oh,
she totally kills it.
She actually wrote that song. No, she didn't. I'm just kidding. Wow. Did you sing Delta Dawn? Or was that?
I don't know. I didn't see that in her list. But anybody who wants to feel great should go watch Dolly Parton sing Stairway to Heaven on YouTube, because she is just magnanimous with that song. So that is all the good news we have for Dolly. And well, the only other thing I wanted to say is that, well, no, actually there's two other things. She's been married to the same man forever. Mm-hmm. And he's like a construction worker, not a celebrity, not an entertainer.
Yeah.
Construction guy. And then she started this program in Tennessee, in her hometown, mm-hmm. where she gives two books. Mm-hmm. You may know of this as a teacher, but for every child born in the county, she delivers personally two books to their house.
She doesn't deliver personally.
No, but she has the Dolly Foundation send out two books because she wants to promote literacy in the South, which is so amazing. That's awesome. And altruistic.
Yeah. I actually had that idea years ago. Like, you know, studies show that books in the home add to, you know, higher literacy rates. So I'm like, well, why don't they just give books to every kid that's born, like in a hospital? Just like, okay, here's your set of 10 books. And then it's funny because every time I bring Henry to the doctor for his yearly physician visits, they give him a book. So somebody's doing it. Not good. Me, but well, Dolly, somebody's doing it.
Dolly set a precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have, let's get around to that voicemail I said we have.
Voicemail.
Oh, hello, the Bikara Show. It's Shimon calling you. How are you guys doing? I'm calling for some advice about jeans. I'm all out of jeans, and I need to get two pairs. I would like to get one pair of party jeans in the event that I might be attending some sort of party. Well, at least date night. and also a pair of casual jeans that are not so casual that they're totally schlubby. But also a pair of casual jeans where I'm totally going to get dog slobber and sticky toddler hands on them. So if you guys have some ideas, I could really use the advice. As far as the shape goes, something that's not crazy tapered, I guess, not crazy skinny, because my legs are already tapered and they do not need any, but not like crazy wide leg either. So that's it. I'll be listening. Okay. Bye.
Hey, Shimon. How are you? So anyway, thank you so much for calling. It's been a long time since we've heard your voice. So it's very nice to hear your cute little voice.
I love her voice.
Jeans. Yes.
Well, the one thing I have to say is Shimon has great legs.
Yeah.
I think last time I saw her, she was wearing shorts. So I suggest hot pants. Go for denim. Get your shortalls or short
those
denim.
Go great in Oregon. Yeah.
No.
You can wear them 1 month out of the year. No, seriously though. Okay. I'm going to give a Susan review. One of my typical Susan reviews where I don't know the name of something. At Nordstrom, a friend of mine got a pair of jeans that she frickin' loves. They're soft, they're beautiful, they look awesome, they do wonderful things to your butt. I can't remember the name of them, but I am going to find out and I'm going to report back next week.
Well, the thing about Nordstrom's is I bought a pair of jeans there, these Marc Jacobs skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And I asked the woman at the counter, you know, I tried them on and I asked her, are these the kind of skinny jeans where they're like a little bit stretchy, but then as you wear them throughout the day, they get real saggy in the butt and they don't stay they don't stay snug. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, no, no. These are a special blend of denim that they will stay snug and stay in their shape through the whole day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I came home. I cut off the tags. I saved my receipt.
Yeah.
I've worn them. I've washed them. I've worn them. I've washed them. I've worn them. And I've decided they don't really, they're just a pair of jeans. Like, okay, they're not worth $109. Mm. So this weekend, I'm going to go back and return them.
Yeah.
Even though I've washed them and worn them. But
like, I think you can do that at Nordstrom, though.
You can.
Yeah.
Because they're not keeping their shape. And that's specifically what I asked about.
Yeah.
So if you want to try something new, a new brand, maybe Nordstrom is the place to go.
Definitely.
Or Goodwill. Because the jeans there are only $7.99. And if you look and look and look, you can find something great.
Yeah. If you have, you know, a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Shimon has a baby. So.
Yeah. So you may not have a couple hours. Maybe nap time in the stroller. Mm-hmm. That's when I used to shop. But yeah. Go and just try on a shitload of jeans. And yeah, only $7.99.
Especially if you need ones that are good for dog slobber.
Yeah.
You don't want to spend $49.99. Go spend your $8.
And you can also, if a jean is too long, I know that Shimon is on the more petite side. If they're too long, go get them hemmed with the tailor. It's usually only like $8, $9, something like that. Well, it used to be when I was 20s, 30s.
Now, before we go, I wanted to ask you about your husband's sleep study. Is he doing that?
Yes, my husband's doing a sleep study tonight, where you actually go in to a sleep study lab and they hook you up to a bunch of shit and monitor your sleep patterns and make sure you don't have sleep apnea or sleepus interruptus or whatever it is that fucks up your sleep. So he's doing that tonight.
Because he has struggled with insomnia for years now.
And it's weird because it's on and off. It's like not every night. And we can't pin it. Like, we've tried things like, you know, okay, no wine, no alcohol. Okay, that.
And it's different pillow.
Yeah, different pillow. He's gone through so many pillows. Yeah, eating after a certain time is a no-no. Or it just doesn't seem to make a difference. So.
Huh.
He's just ruling out stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to find.
If you want a sleep, if you're struggling with insomnia and you are at your wit's end, ask your doctor if you can do a sleep study, especially if there's a university hospital nearby. Usually they have sleep study centers. So.
Very nice.
Check it out.
All right. Well, we're going to come back because we have some listener makeup recommendations. So. For now, we will say goodbye. And Susan, do you have any parting words?
Just send me your vibrators.
Tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job.
And we're back. We have, I don't know, did I send you this email? I don't think I did. No, this is a different one.
Okay.
I'm going to read it because I know you don't have your glasses on.
Yeah.
And it says, hi, Geraldine, Amy, and Susan. I think this is from Alexis. I just wanted to write in and say thank you for your awesome podcast. Your honesty and humor is much appreciated, and listening to the Because Show is always one of the best hours of my week. You are all golden fucking unicorns.
Aww.
The spring shopping bug is on full force, and I wanted to share some excellent new makeup purchases from my latest Sephora binge. Number one, Lorac Pro Mascara is insane. I've been a devoted Christian Dior user for years, and I think this one might be better. One caveat, my friend and I, who both have longer lashes, absolutely love this stuff, but a friend with shorter lashes said it made her look clumpy.
You know, that's funny, because I have the longer lashes, and I like a clumpier mascara.
Okay, so you do not need lengthening. You need volumizing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right, so the next on her rec list is the Tarte Blush. It's T-A-R-T-E, that line. The Tarte Blush Gel Stick and Powder Blush. She uses the color Fearless for powder and True Love is the stick. It's a recent purchase and it's so good. I feel like it changes your entire face with one or two sweeps of color. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And she also just bought the Maybelline Fit Me Shine Free Foundation Sticks after watching a bazillion YouTube videos and a cheapy e.l.f. stipple brush from Target and a Benefit Instant Brow Pencil in the whiter color for highlighting. And she's loving the results. She says it's definitely not an everyday look, but it makes going out so fun. So she she ends her email by saying, thanks for the continuous hilariousness and awesomeness, and keep doing what we do. We're all badasses, which is really nice.
Aww.
I love being called a golden fucking unicorn and a badass. That's
yeah.
like the best of both worlds. So that's, I think that's going to wrap it up. We don't want to go too long, unless you have any makeup tips and reviews, recommendations.
I do not.
Okay. I do. I'll do a quickie.
Okay.
Quickie. Instead of buying your argan oil at Sephora, where it's like $50,
yeah.
go to Whole Foods and Ooh. You can get twice as much for $20.
Ooh.
And it's just like some hippie brand, but all it is 100% argan uh-huh. argan oil.
And you use
and,
that?
I use it as a, like body moisturizer on my face. On you, know, you can put it in your hair. You can put it on your nails. You can put it everywhere.
Mm.
It doesn't really smell that much. It doesn't have a strong scent to it. But I mix it with almond oil that I got at Target for my body, and it's a really good mix. It's
nice.
And it's cheap. The almond oil was like $2.99.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't beat that.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we'll save the rest of our makeup tips.
And wait. I do have a quickie, actually.
Okay.
So I've been using my Clarisonic. I used to use it like once a week or once every 2 weeks, and I've been using it every other day now. And I've noticed a big difference in my skin clarity. So I'm not getting as many breakouts as I was before. And I think my wrinkles around my eyes are getting a little lessened.
Your skin looks great. I was going to mention it. You're
thank you.
Glowing. So yay for Clarisonic. It's still working after all this time. So listeners, we'd love hearing from you. And don't be shy. Send us your emails to thebecauseshow@baldmove.com or a voicemail at 818-643-1565. So until next week,
au revoir.